Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
Second Corinthians chapter 2. Where my heart's at today, I've been on this for several days, and really until this morning, I wasn't real sure where I was going to end up, but praise God, the Lord settled it for me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. I hear pages turning. Sounds like water falling. That's wonderful. If you found 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, shout amen for me. Amen. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, this is what got my attention on this, this is a most unusual statement, the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Maketh manifest, he calls us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor, that's the odor, the fragrance, of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Brother Michael, let's sing about it. To the one we are the savor, the fragrance, the odor of unto death, of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Father, I love you and I thank you for the morning and for what I felt in my heart, and for your favor and your blessing, Lord, I pray you use me again one more time. God, be glorified in what I say and do today. I pray you'd fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Preach me inside the bounds of the Holy Writ. I pray you touch every heart in the house. Maybe there's one unsaved today. They don't want to find themselves on the other side like Michael sang about, Lord. I pray they would come to you in the saving knowledge of the Lord Christ and accept you as King and Lord this morning. Lord, I'm praying you'd help me one more time. Bless your word and do it for your sake. I'm going to praise you for it. And I ask it in my King's name. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I've got a most unusual title. I'll give credit to where credit's due. They call him Little Joe. And if you've seen them here together from Brother Gary's church, there's Big Joe and there's Little Joe. And they both swap off teaching Sunday school over in Nebo, where Brother Gary's at. And last Sunday morning, that's where I was. And Little Joe taught, and he taught out of John chapter number 11. And he said something in that, in John 11, and I'll bring it out a little later on. But I wrote this thought down, and I didn't know what scripture I'd find to go with the thought. Oftentimes I get a scripture and then God gives me the message. Sometimes he gives me the thought and then I have to find the scripture to go with the thought. And if I get a thought and I don't find it in the scripture, I try the spirit and I say, that must not be a God. And I kick that one to the curb because I can think of a lot of things that's not right. Now, if you want to see if what you're thinking is right, check it with the scripture. If it lines up with the scripture, you're in the right place. Amen. But here's what I want to preach this morning. No matter the smell. No matter the smell. Now Paul here in 2 Corinthians, I'm going to bring us up to verse 14 of chapter 2 and let us understand his thought process, where he's at, what he's thinking, and what he's involved in right here. And he makes this most unusual statement considering his situation. Now, Paul wants to come to the Corinthians, but he can't, so he writes them a letter. He'd rather come in person. Isn't coming in person better than writing letters? Isn't it better to see someone face to face than it is to get a text message by today's standards or to get a... No one writes a letter anymore. We get an email. But it's better to be in person. You want to see them. Paul would rather be in person here. And here's what he begins with in chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Here's what you're going to see considering Paul. You're going to see his affliction. Paul was in a bad place. Paul had been in places. Now, we read the letters of the Apostle Paul and we think, glory to God, what an outstanding ministry the Apostle Paul had. which is true. It still stands today. He was the one born out of due season, he thought. But watch this. Paul's writing this stuff, and to him, it don't look so good. He was oppressed. He was brought to death. I think he says, but the sentence of death was in us. I mean, Paul was in a place. He was under affliction. He's writing the letters. He said, I want you to see, I've been afflicted in this cause for Christ. Let me tell you, friend, if you're really in it for the cause of Christ and you expect you're not going to feel any affliction, you're on the wrong team. Because he said, if we live godly in Christ in this world, what are we going to do? Suffer A plus. You know it's coming. Most of the time it comes within right in your family. Someone far away from me can't hurt me. Someone far away from me can't hurt me. But someone close to me, and it hurts worse than any others. Paul's talking about his affliction. You stay with me. I'm trying to get us, this is my introduction. Then from chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul begins to speak of this, his affection for these people. He wants them to know how much he loved them. He said, look, now I wrote you one letter and it brought sorrow, and I didn't want to write you another letter. I wanted to come to you, but I'm not going to get to. But I don't want to make you sorrowful. You know what the pastor doesn't want to do? He doesn't want to make you sorrowful today. The pastor wants to encourage you. Paul, he's showing his affection by his letter to them. He said, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want you to know how much I love you. And you have shown how much you love me by your forgiveness for another brother. Oh. Paul had encouraged him. He said, now, whether this is the man of 1 Corinthians 5, I don't really know, but I think, and most theologians agree, that he turned such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a bad place to be, and only the apostle had that authority. Pastors today don't have that authority. Deacons don't have that authority. And my friend, the layman in the pew does not have that authority to say, I'm turning you over to the devil. No. But Paul had that authority. And he wrote them and said, I'm hoping now that he's seen the error of his ways. He repented, turned from his sin, and you took him in and you forgive him and you loved him like you did in the first place. You know why a lot of people's not turned back to Christ or turned to him in the first place? Is because we run out of patience with them. We run out of patience. I'm glad God's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How do you do that? You love them all the way to Jesus. That's how you do it. Paul said, hey, I've been afflicted, and you better know I have, but I want you to see the affection that I have for you. But it doesn't change. Stop there. I'm glad what I just read in chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Here's what we see. We see the affirmation of Paul. Now, I know that means to affirm an action, but it also means this. Affirmation means, it means this, to give emotional support or to encourage. So Paul is giving affirmation to them after saying this, hey, I've had trouble. I still loved you. I've tried to tell you what had helped you. But look here, now I want you to know we still triumph in Christ. But it don't sound like it. It don't look like you're doing too good. Prior to that, Paul says this, I come looking for Titus, but Titus wasn't here. Made me sorrowful in my heart. You ever been some, you wanted to see somebody real bad, you show up and they don't make it. You ever invite somebody to church and the very day you don't come, they do. And they're thinking, why'd they invite me? They don't come themselves. That's a good point right there for coming to church. Paul said, I want to see Titus. Titus wasn't there. Now, I know this is kind of elementary right here. And I'm preaching to the choir, and you already knew all these things. But I want you thinking about it now. Consider the affliction of Paul. Consider the affection that he had for them around you. You know why you come with people who you bring to church or you come to church with, because you love them. That's why we invite people. That's why we come. That's why we put our arms around them. That's why we forgive them 70 times 7 a day. That's a whole bunch. So I don't think anybody can do that. Jesus did. And he's the standard. There he is. He's telling us what to do. And you know what we do? We fail to do that. But say, well, I have been afflicted. But Paul was. He was afflicted. And they were part of the problem. But Paul had affection for them, Brother Roland. He wanted to know how much he loved them. You know, sometimes just taking somebody's face in your hands, and I'm saying throw COVID out the window, and get right in their face and say, you never know how much I love you. I don't care what you've done, what's happened. You'll never know how much I love you. Do you know what that does to people's hearts? Everybody, I don't care who they are, everybody wants to be loved. Say, well, I don't care how, what, you care what people think of you. That's why you act different in church than you do at home. And a prophet's not without honor, saving his own house and his own country. Why? Because they know how we really are. We got our nines on here. We dressed up, looking good, smell good, combed our hair, done all these things. Paul said, I love you. Hey, I've been afflicted and I love you, but look here, let me affirm something with you. We still triumph in Christ. Now, you know what's a common slang in American language? This isn't English, this is American. You know what's a common slang in American language? Has anyone in the congregation, don't hold your hand up, but has anything ever happened and you was around it and you might say, that stinks? You ever heard anybody say something like that? Something didn't go their way? Wade's honest. He just couldn't help it. He had to say, it's me. And you'd say, my word, that stinks. Now, it wasn't literally a smell, but we use that slang to show that something isn't very good. We don't approve. This is abusive or abrasive, or it's out of order, or it shouldn't be. What a sad prayer request this morning in the room with Brother Randy. My sister had texted me concerning, reckon I could use that name. I better not. This family, one died, another died. Now another's sick. It's tragic. And they need prayer. You know what I'd say? That stinks. That's not very good. Do you know what we might be able to say here? That's common slang. You've heard it. If you've not said it, you've heard someone else say it. But you know what we might say concerning Paul's situation? That stinks. I mean, Paul is called of God. He's the apostle, Paul. He's writing more letters, not more of, verse-wise, but more letters than anyone else in the New Testament. Here Paul's writing all these letters, and you would think that everywhere Paul went, it was 100%. He would sow the seed and reap 100. No, Paul's fortunate if he reaped 25%. And most of the time they're stoning him, kicking him out, trying to shipwreck him, wanting to kill him, had to be let down over the wall in a basket. All these things happening to Paul. You know what we'd say if that happened in my ministry? That stinks. I don't like that. That's what we say. Can I ask you a personal question this morning? Not looking for a response. Is there something right now in your life that would qualify as, that stinks? I know. Hey, I know what's going on in two-thirds of the lives in here. I know things you don't know that I know. And I've never confronted you with it because it stinks. But I'm trying to do what Paul done. Paul said, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want you to know how much I care about you. We always triumph in Christ. What an unusual statement after saying all this stuff. I've been afflicted. I've got affection for you, but I couldn't find Titus. I mean, it don't look like it's going real good right here. Did you love the guy? I'm unsure. Did you forgive him? I want you to forgive him. I want you to love him like I love you. Have these things happened? I'm confused. What's going on here? Now, Paul's writing the New Testament I'm preaching out of this morning, or a portion of it, and here he's writing these things. And you know what I'd say about his situation? That stinks. That stinks. This is the Apostle Paul. My word. You think, Lord, you'd just give him a little bit better than that. Are you still with me? Now I want you to learn something with me this morning. Some of you may already know this, but I did not know this. I researched this, and it's accurate. This causes us to triumph in Christ. Literally, the imagery of this. So when they wrote this, it would be like saying this. It would be like saying today, someone, Super Bowl Sunday. I hate, that's a poor analogy. I just detest that day. But if I said Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know, even from the youngest in this room, there's anybody that'd say, I never heard of that. Never heard of that. What happens that day? I don't know how you can miss it. It's on every billboard, every sign, every newscast. They advertise it for 3 months before it happens. They blow it up like these two teams are the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're gonna give you this, that. Who's your team? They're going to win. Who cares? Can I ask you a question? Who won 3 years ago? I said that one time in the World Series. Gary Hall sitting in this congregation. I said, who won the World Series 5 years ago? Gary rattled it off. I said, there's always one. This phrase was as common in this day as that phrase is to us today. Here's what it literally means. It means that a Roman emperor or a captain, a high-ranking officer in the Roman army, would be out conquering some other land or even a nation. At several times, they conquered nations. And they would be out and they would conquer that nation, causing us or leading us in triumph. Is they all understood this was what it would mean. That here he would come and he would lead the procession. He would be in a chariot. If it wasn't solid gold, it would be trimmed in gold. He would be led by white stallions pulling his chariot. He would come into the city and everything he captured would be behind him. He would come riding into the city and they would do this. That savor, that fragrance, that odor, here's the imagery for that. Here's what this is in relation to. They literally had altars built and runners. The runners would fill their censers with incense and light it and run beside him or in front of him. So when he was approaching, it would be a sweet smell. And the altars along the parade route would be filled with incense. Flowers would be thrown in the way. And when he ran over the flowers, it would omit the fragrance of the flowers when they were crushed. And the incense on the altars would be such fires burning. That smoke had such fragrance to it that sometimes you couldn't even see the parade for the smoke. In other words, you couldn't see the person in the parade, but you could smell the fragrance. With that in mind, I want us to consider two things this morning. First, I want us to consider this, our conqueror. Now, in the eyes, stay with me. Don't go to sleep on me yet. In the eyes of the Lord. How many in here would agree that some things smell better to other people than you or others? Some things people detest the smell of. Diesel smoke kills me. I detest it. If I get behind one that's puffing black smoke, he needs some work done on his engine, and he's puffing that stuff on me, I'm going to pass him if I have to run way too fast to do it. I can't take it. Makes me sick. Makes me nauseous. I mean, I'm going to have to pull over, get out of the way, Dennis. Now, gas engines, fumes from a gas engine, smell them all day long. Don't bother me at all. Let them burn. But that diesel, something, Brother Matt, in that diesel, I just can't take it. My system doesn't agree with it. So not everything that, now, some of you old truck drivers say, man, I like to smell that diesel smoke. If Gordon is here, he'd say, yeah, I like, you know. I smell that diesel smoke. 275 million miles I drove smelling that diesel smoke. I wouldn't have made it 20 miles. I'd have been on the side of the road sick. Some things are obnoxious to you that aren't to me. Are you with me?
Yes.
Is everybody, we on the same page here? We seeing the affections, the affliction of Paul, his affection and his affirmation. Here's what he's saying about his situation. Don't look too good, Jeff. Don't look too good. I mean, if we're looking at him from a natural perspective, Paul, you ain't doing too good right here. You got it bad. It's hard right now. Stay with me. Here we have him. Here we have now, we have our conqueror. Here's what Paul's saying. We got a conqueror that's leading us. And his savor, hey, in us, it's always sweet. Well, Jimmy, I don't think your situation right now is too good.
Pretty good.
Always got one. We would say about some things, that stinks. Here's our conqueror. Let's notice what he done. He can't conquer nothing until you come to where it is. So first he came. If he's going to conquer, he has to come. Amen? One and one is two. He had to come. So did he come? Yeah, when the Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that'd be us, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's how I got in. That's how I got in. I got in by him coming. Had he not come, I would never be in. Now, not only did he come, but look here. Now look, let me go here. First, he came into his own. This goes along with Sunday school. He came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he what? Isn't that good? To power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Born not of blood. See, that'd rule us Irish guys out. I'm not a Jew. Born not of blood. No. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it's the will of God. Here's how it happened. He came, they wouldn't receive him, but you can receive him. Whosoever receive him, to them, whoever believeth, give he power to become the sons of God. That'd be us today that are born again and in the body of Christ. That ought to make you at least smile, even though, hey, I know it's been a long weekend. He came, no doubt about it, and he was crucified. See anyone disagree with that today? Here's what one fellow told him. He was an atheist trying to argue with a theologian concerning Christ. He said, you say that Jesus was crucified on a cross? He said, I don't know if that's true. And if it is, I don't know what it done. He said, would you agree that other people were crucified in the Roman Empire? He said, oh yeah, thousands. He said, would you say there's more than thousands? Oh yeah, there's probably hundreds of thousands. You know, one guy impaled them on poles and decorated the roadway with people impaled on poles. Brutal, vicious people. He said, oh yeah, I'd agree with that. He said, do you know the name of any of them that was crucified? He said, well, no. He said, but you've heard of Jesus? He said, I'm going to have to think about that. Yeah, think about it, friend. Because there's one that's crucified. Bless the Lord. There was one that was crucified that made all the difference through the ages and in today. There's one that's crucified. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And in John 19 and 30, 29, maybe it is, 28, right in there. John 19, here's what he said. When they took him, nailed him to the tree, he bowed his lovely head, and he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. Listen, salvation had been paid for. The sin debt had been paid. The law had been fulfilled. Aren't you glad, praise God, that he came and he was crucified, but he didn't stay dead. The conqueror or the emperor or the captain that died in the battle never rode back into the city in the parade. But he rose the third day. And he was standing on the Mount of Olivet, and he ascended unto heaven 40 days after the resurrection. 10 days later, Pentecost is going to come, and the church is going to be born. He came. Mark Madden, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe he was born in a barn around beast of burden because he's about to carry the sin debt of the world. Praise God. And all he ever rode on was the colt, the foal of an ass. He hasn't ridden on his stallion yet, but the conqueror is going to come through the gate one day. Bless the name of God. He's going to step off, and when he steps on, it's going to split in two. And when it splits in two, he's going to walk through. He's going to take his rightful place upon his rightful throne. Who is he? He's the conqueror. We see him coming, we see him crucified, but we see him conquering. Old John's on the Isle of Patmos, and he said this, I heard a voice sound like many waters, and I turned around to see. And lo, Lord, there he stood. Hey, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he put his right hand upon me and stood me up and said, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. That's my conqueror today. And those that won't accept him, Brother John Littrell, will be in that list that Michael's saying about. They'll open the book and they won't find their name in the book. Their name will not be in the book. So that's real good. What's that got to do with smell? I'm about to go there. Because that don't seem to, when him coming and his crucifixion certainly does, it doesn't look, but his resurrection now, it's starting to get a little sweeter. But I want us not only to consider the conqueror, but I want us to consider the captives. You know what Paul's saying right here? He's saying, I'm like one of those that was conquered, and I'm in the parade. You know what happens in the parade? I didn't tell you this. Here's what happens in the parade. Those that are closest, oh God, thank you for that. Those that are closest to the conqueror, you know what they're going to do? They're going to smell the savor. That's good, Brother Junior. But here's what most times the ones closest, the captives closest to the conqueror was this. They were going to be pardoned. But the ones in the back who still had the hate and the look of disgust, and if they could get a sword, they'd kill this guy. Those in the back, here's what's going to happen to them. Before they ever go through the gate, most of them's going to be executed. And the ones that brought through the gate are going to be given to the beast. They're thrown to the lions. Paul's saying, here's what I am. I'm a captive. He's leading me. He is triumphant. He's leading me in this procession. Look here, and it's a sweet savor. Wherever I go, I'm a savor unto him. I'm giving off an incense, a sweet smell. Hey, things may be rough. It may look difficult. You may be in a dark place. You don't see how you're going to get out of it. Paul's saying this, I've been where you've been, but God, we always triumph in Christ. He's leading me down the procession, and wherever I go, I'm going to put off a sweet smelling savor. It don't matter how bad it is. I'm going to smell sweet when I get out there. So what he was? Paul was surrendered. You know what they told Jehoiachin? They told Jehoiachin this. When the king rode up, when Nebuchadnezzar's men rode up to the gate, here's what he said. If you'll come out and surrender, we'll take you to our place and we'll treat you. You can grow your vineyards. You can eat bread. You can do whatever you want to do. So him and the upper people of society went out. They surrendered, and Nebuchadnezzar took them to his land. They surrendered, and they were spared because of their surrender. The only way you'll be spared is if you surrender. If you want to be a combatant and you want to go against what the one that come as the conqueror has come to do, hey, look, friend, he'll leave you in the end of the parade, and execution day will come because you failed to make the pardon. Here we have them. Stay with me. Now, that's the captives. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why would that be a good thing? Why would the conqueror even go to where he's at? You know why? This is why. He's drawn to dead things. Say, that don't even make sense to me, preacher. Dead things stink. He don't care how bad it smells. He doesn't care how bad it, no matter the smell, he's drawn to dead things. So I'm not dead. Yeah, you are if you're not saved today. He hath quickened us. Paul said in Ephesians 2 and 1, he hath quickened you who were dead in your trespass and sin. What does that mean? That means he's drawn to dead things. Something that can't do nothing for itself. It just laying there. And you know what? That stinks is what that does. But no matter the smell, he's drawn to dead things. Whatever's killing you, or if you're in a dead place today, in your sin, he's drawn to that. He'll come. He's the conqueror. He's looking for you to surrender. Say, Lord, I can't do it. I am incapable. I need you. Get behind my chariot. Get behind my chariot. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chain yourself to me. Just chain yourself to me. Yeah, but I stink. You won't when I get through with you. Because it's not only the surrender, but watch this. You know what he told us to be? Romans 12 and 1 says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is? It's something that dies. And we die to sin that we might walk in the newness of life. And we die in that. He's drawn to dead things, that thing that's dying. And that sacrifice, what you do for the cause of Christ, if it isn't costing you something, you need to examine and see who you're doing it for. Oh, I knew I'd hit a stump right there. A sacrifice is something that's going to be killed. And we're that living sacrifice. That means we sacrifice the old man. The new man's brought to walk in the newness of life. And there we have that. And it is he's drawn to that dead thing. We surrender ourselves to him. But he's going to require sacrifice of us. You know what it's going to do? It's going to cost you something. What does that mean? That means I'm going to be in dangerous places. Chance. Does that mean that there's going to be times that you'd rather do something other than ministry you're called in to do? Yes. What does that mean? That means that you'll have to put him first and put everything else on the back burner. And you know what we'd say about that, especially young people? That stinks. But it don't stink to him. That's what he's wanting. That's a sweet smelling savor to the Lord. Watch this. It's costing him something. Here's a sacrifice. Did I mention that he loves sacrifices? So it's costing something. It costs something. I could go into preacher detail right here, and I'd like to, but to protect the innocent, I won't. There's a host of them, but you see them when they're behind this desk, and you see them when they're up singing. You see them when they're on the road. You see them on Facebook, and everything's hallelujah. It's like reading one of the letters of Paul when you think, my word, I wish I could do that. Them young preachers look at it and say, well, I'd like to do that. They have no idea. The sacrifice that's being made. I had Randall. Seth was with us that night. We went and heard Roger the last time. Now watch one of my heroes of the faith get up. And he only done it because the pastor down there, Brother John Potts, begged him to do it. He said, come, Roger, just come. You've got to come and at least just stand up and tell a story. So Rog went, and I watched him shaking as he tried to get on the stage. I watched Mike Blanton sit there and fight that microphone that's right in his mouth. He'd turn it up and he'd turn it down and start to squeal. Turned up to, just so he could hear him speak because he'd wore his voice out. He's crying aloud and sparing not. And I know the times that Diane and the kids have been in Florida. Rog was on the road. I know how blessed I am when I get to take Pat with me to these meetings that God allows me to preach. I know how blessed I am to do that. Some said, you don't know what a blessing that is. I said, oh, I do know too. She's the navigator. I'm the driver. I watched Roger try to preach, and Parkinson's and cancer and diabetes. He didn't just have one thing. He had a host of things. And I watched the man of God stand and struggle and try to talk. And I told him when we got in the car, I said, you've watched a hero give one of his last, if not the last message, one of the last he'll ever give. And I don't know that he stood any after that. And you know what? And he wasn't that old. Roger's only 70. That's 10 years for me. But you know what that was, Randy? Everybody's around there thinking, my, that stinks. The Lord's going, that's a sweet savor right there. When it's so dark, he don't know what he's going to do. He can't hardly get on the stage. He's drawn to dead things. He loves that. No matter the smell to us. But you know what that turns into? You better understand what a privilege it is to be drawn, called, placed into any kind of ministry whatsoever and say, well, I'm a layman. I don't have a ministry. Every person in a pew this morning is a minister. And the surrender and the sacrifice turns to service to the captives. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and have kept the faith. That soldier was fast approaching retirement. You never get out of the army, you just retire. You know what that is? Psalm 100, verse 2, I think it is. Serve the Lord with gladness. So you know what that expectation is? You know what Paul's saying? Hey, we're a savor. Why would he say that we're a savor of death unto death to some? Because look, the savor doesn't change for us. We're putting off the smell. And to them, they don't want to smell it. They'll be in the back of the parade. You got a choice. You can move on up and get close to the chariot and be in that remnant if you want to. Or you can be in the back. And you know what he'll do? He'll let you get fed to the lions. It's one opportunity after another, and to come and be part of this or not be part of it, the choice is yours. It's a sweet smelling savor. Jim McComas, I read a story and something Jim had given out this past week, I think, I don't know if it was Echo or if it was from Family Ministries, but he said this is what occurred. Now we would say this stinks. This child was in foster care. Some of you know how difficult that is. And got put in a great, great home. And they brought the birth mother to meet with the family, and she knew what kind of mess she had been in, and it stunk. It stunk. And so when the foster parents met her, they were just overwhelmed with her. She was overwhelmed at their kindness. She said, how come you treat me so good? They said, because we care about you. Because it's only by the grace of God that I'm not you. That I'm not in that place. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And the foster parents said, we care about you. And we'd like to see it reconciled and things put back together. I would to God that I had the ability to reconcile and put things back together. I don't, but he does. Did I tell you he's drawn to dead things? When you think that thing's dead and it can't Can I tell you? Oh, yes, he can. Glory to God. He'll come no matter the smell. He'll show up where it's at. So it went on and on. And then the birth mother wants to meet with the family and the child. And they meet. They're at Cracker Barrel. They have a meal and everything's good. And she has so much improved. And things are on the up and up. And she's just overwhelmed at how much how good these people are to her. And how the child's response has responded to this. And here's what happens. They're on the front porch of Cracker Barrel. And she said, I wished I had what you've got. Her situation stunk. But somebody showed up. He was drawn to the smell. He said, I'll come where you are. I'm the conqueror. I'm the captain. I'll lead you in triumph if you want to get behind my chariot. Jim said in his letter, said there on the front porch of the Cracker Barrel, Jesus passed by, and this woman's gloriously saved. Hallelujah. I mean, from one where the child has been taken away and put, but hey, do you think you don't see the providence of God? Where do you think? You think the Lord didn't know where that child is going to wind up? Well, you better know one of them family ministry foster parents is going to get a hold of that baby, going to tell her about the Lord, going to meet her mama out here in sin, dead, in trespass, in sin, troubled. Her life, her situation stunk. It was bad. But when the Lord shows up, praise God, he's drawn to that stuff. And what stinks, he'll go, I'll turn that into a fragrance that you'll smell it everywhere you go. Jewel, come to the piano for me, would you please? I'm done.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.